640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Not clear whether we're going to get a named storm, Arthur, maybe for this PTC1, possible tropical cyclone 1 that is out over the Gulf slash land. It's like on top of Houston right now. And there's a whole stretch of storms. It's basically the giant triangle of rain between there and out past the south into the Gulf of Mexico, past the Mexico-Texas border in our direction.
America.
Don't say it, John. Don't need your help on this.
America.
So we're going to be getting a lot of rain. Alan Strum said maybe as much as 10 inches in parts of Pensacola between now and Friday. So joining us now by phone, we have Wes Moreno. He's the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Weird to have you on a Wednesday, but glad to have you on a day where we have a Wednesday meeting.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Yeah, it is a little weird, but it is always great to be here.
Oh, I appreciate that. What is the county doing to prepare for this storm? Anything special, sandbags than the normal?
The normal routine stuff. I know we're really expecting a rain event more than anything. And, you know, I always say this, as long as we don't get 6 inches in 2 hours, we're fine. I think if it stretches out over several days, I think you'll see a minimal impact.
And, you know, I try to give both the city and the county as much credit as I can whenever this comes up. You and I actually met as a result of the 2014 flood. We met over on Crescent Lake when your guys were fixing up the dam repair there. And we've known each other ever since. But I think both the county and the city have done, and Gulf Breeze, you know, have done amazing things to improve stormwater processing since that rain event. It's still not clear what anybody would do with 30 inches of rain, but the county and the city have put a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort into mitigating stormwater, right?
We have. Local office sales tax has been our gig. And, you know, there are areas of the county. I remember when Ferry Pass, it didn't take much rain. They would flood in Ferry Pass. They would flood in Ansley.
Yep.
They would flood in Maplewood Subdivision and other areas as well. But we have sunk millions and millions and millions of dollars into stormwater projects. And the county's better off for it. We've made some great progress in a lot of areas.
I was even the other day for the first time. I used the traffic light at Rainbow on 9 Mile. It was the first time I'd used it, and I was driving north there. And I was remembering how, oh, my God, that whole area was all underwater way back when. But, you know, lots of work has been done to make sure that doesn't happen again. 14 new corrections officers. Those are hires, right? Is that right?
Yeah, those are hires, and they'll go through the onboarding and the training with the field training officers, and it's kind of a thing. We hire 14. By the time we get through the training period, you may have 9 or 10 left that actually make it. So we're always hiring. We're always looking for good officers and good people to fill those roles, and we do have vacancies, and we're looking to fill them.
Yeah, one of the challenges is, you know, hiring. This is for law enforcement too, right? Hiring ahead, especially when you don't have budgeted positions, you're trying to get them ready to replace the people who are retiring, but sometimes you can't actually hire them until the people retire. And so that challenge of, you know, that overlapping challenge, right? That's something that you deal with at the county too.
Yeah, absolutely. We have people retiring, and actually corrections is an area that we have several staff members getting ready to retire and step out, and we're looking for folks to be able to step up and fill those roles. And we know, you know, part of the, you'll hear property taxes talked about this morning, but part of our budgeting process is there's a lot of vacancies and corrections right now, and even last year, and we know we typically do not fill all of those vacancies, so we've defunded a portion of those vacancies to help with the budget. Now, if they fill those positions and get back to where they need to refund those positions, we can do that. We can put the money back on them. But they do carry a lot of vacancies and corrections. It's a high-stress job. It really is.
And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't get nearly the kind of attention or public celebration that we give to other law enforcement, which it obviously is a law enforcement function. And that's kind of unfortunate because it is an extremely valuable function and very difficult and, you know, sometimes very stressful as well. Hey, just a quick thing on, since we were talking about the flooding, first thing I need you to tell me, you're the expert, Boggia Road. How do you say that name?
We've always said it Boggy.
Boggy. Okay. All right. That's how Channel 3 was saying it. I'd always said it Boggia, but I don't know. I don't live on it. So, okay, fair enough. Quick repairs there. Was that FDOT or was that you guys? It's back up and running within 2 weeks after the blowout, right?
That was actually FDOT.
Okay.
They stepped in and took that one. I think they had some open contracts. They probably did a change order to one of their open contracts or however they did it. But they brought a contractor in, and the contractor was pretty diligent working on over the weekend. And Got it back open, and that was a good effort there by FDOT.
We've got a night meeting today, but we've got a committee the whole meeting this morning where we're going to really dig into the property tax stuff. What will the impact on the county be? What are you going to do to prepare for it in case it passes? You tell me, and I know a lot of this probably has to wait for the actual meeting to prep the commissioners, but I assume you've kind of prepped them in advance a little bit too. What is the county facing if this thing passes?
So year one, we'll take about a $42 million hit. In year two, you'll take about a $64 million hit.
On top of the 42?
In total.
Got it. Okay, so $64 million total. Go ahead.
And then as it moves forward, you'll continue to take bigger and bigger hits. So we do. I mean, me and Stefan, we've been.
And I'm sorry to Wes interrupt you, but just I want people to get perspective on this. Even though the budget for Escambia County is in the plus $800 million vicinity, what is the general fund budget? What is the property tax ad valorem fund budget for the county?
It's about $300 million.
About $300 million. So we're talking about 20% loss of that over in the second year.
Correct.
Okay, go ahead.
So we've got some strategies, some things that we're doing. I think we'll be fine through the first year. It's going to be painful. Second year, there's going to have to really be some hard decisions made by the board. And I'm not trying to be a doomsday, doom and gloom person, but, you may see some libraries closed. You may see some parks closed. You may see a reduction in code enforcement. You may see a reduction in almost every service that we provide because you're just not going to have the funds at the moment anyway, to provide those services. You know, the library system will take a $2 million hit in year one. They'll take another $2 million hit in year two.
Because they're funded in their own funding stream. Yeah. Go ahead.
The MSCU, yep. So, I mean, all of these things have to be looked at, need to be looked at. We've talked to the lieutenant governor yesterday afternoon at Public Safety and asked him about revenue replacement. You know, they were talking initially about a trust fund. But that's one question we can't seem to get answered is, what is a strategy for, or is there a strategy, or going to be a strategy for revenue replacement? So we just can't seem to get a good answer for that. So we have to prepare as best we can. Hiring freezes and reduction in force and closing some things, cutting services, and that's where it's going to go.
If you've got $300 million in the general fund that comes from property taxes and $64 million of that's going to go away, the sheriff's budget comes partially, there's an MSTU for the sheriff, but the bulk of the budget comes out of that same revenue pot, right?
That is correct.
And how much is that per year?
Well, the total sheriff budget is $90 million. I'm not sure what the delta is between the MSTU and general fund, but.
Okay, so if you've got $300 million minus 64, you've got 260 left to run all these county functions, and more than a third of that is already dedicated to law enforcement. I mean, these are massive chunks of money we're talking about, right?
Absolutely. And it will affect all the constitutional officers. It'll affect us, all your constitutional. It has to. I mean, it's not because we want to. We don't really have a choice. But we know public safety is priority one. We understand that. But it will eventually affect all the constitutional officers.
Because fire comes out of that as well. EMS is separate because it's funded, it self-funds. It's an enterprise.
And fire right now has their own MSBU.
Right, okay.
So they're kind of covered at the moment.
I'm sorry about that. Thank you for correcting me on that. I forgot we made that. Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, so, we used to supplement fire out of the general fund. And one thing in meeting with the fire chief, and you're always trying to improve and get better and add firefighters, and we're building four new fire stations and that we're going to have to man and staff. We can't outpace the MSBU because there will be no general fund. There'll be no general fund to supplement it.
Yeah. I did want to give you some credit for something that I just discovered sort of inadvertently. I went to the landfill to drop off some hazardous materials, just some old, gas. It was no good anymore. And it was such a small amount. I felt really stupid having to do it, but that's what you have to do. And I met Pat O'Dell, who is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you guys moved the hazardous materials drop off from being in the middle of the maze next to the Minotaur. That's kind of how I think of it used to be, to being out by the back gate so you don't have to drive over the nails and the glass, and it's very convenient if you go in the back entrance. So kudos. That's a small improvement, but I think a significant benefit for and not taking up the traffic at the front gate too.
Yeah, it is. I had something that I needed to get to the landfill, and I paid somebody to take it out there because I didn't want to get a nail in my tire. So
right.
You know, you drive through all of that stuff, and it's just the nature of the beast. You know, it's a crapshoot whether or not you're going to get a nail or something.
Right.
And,
I thought of that as I was going over the scale. Oh, I wasn't thinking about this.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a good move. Kudos to Andy Lees and the solid waste folks out there.
No, it's good stuff. And it's little things, you know, little things that improve the lives of citizens. OLFA, where are we at with this? Because, you know, it's hard to know because it's all kind of going on. Behind the scenes is not meant as an insult. It just isn't taking place in public view. So what's going on?
So I met with the development group. We had a good meeting last Monday, a week ago, at Central Office Complex, talking about uses, land uses out there, and modification of those uses, and maybe a repeal and replace the master plan. You'll see OLFA go to the planning board on July the 7th for the planning board to review their submittals. And then if the planning board gives them thumbs up, you'll see it come to the Board of County Commissioners on August the 6th. And then from there, if they get a thumbs up there, then you'll see their package go to Department of Economic DEO there at the state in Tallahassee and for their review. So it's moving forward, and that would push through all of those hurdles and challenges. I think you'll probably see a closing in spring of next calendar year.
And the end is going to be that the county retains the economic development portion and they're going to develop the non-light industrial portion. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yep. Okay. Now, you did say a word, and I just want to, because I know it triggers a lot of people, and, you know, understandably so. When you say replacing the master plan, that's what they're trying to do. How significant of a rewrite, of a redesign are they intending?
Well, I don't think it's overly significant. You always heard in the beginning the spirit of the DPZ plan, and I think this, what I've seen anyway, certainly accomplishes that. But there are some things, road width, some drainage issues, some uses that are not, I don't personally feel like they're over the top drastic, what they're asking for. But Chad Henderson, he's the development group, has been in constant contact with the folks out in Beulah and communicating with them, several meetings, several one-on-one meetings. And so he's been doing a good job of staying on top of his communication efforts there with the folks in Beulah. And what I have seen would be just a great amenity there in that community.
You know, one last thing I wanted to ask you about, just because it is on the agenda for tonight, is the continued funding for CORE. I thought I had read that the state funding had gone away, but maybe opioid settlement money was going to replace that. Is there any worry that CORE, the great opioid abatement and, you know, help program that the EMS is running, is there any worry that that's going to go away, or is that going to be funded and taken care of and continue?
I think we're going to continue that program with the opioid abatement funds.
Okay.
I met with my member, my appointee. He said, listen, this is a great program. It's probably one of the most successful programs that we fund with the opioid money. So it will continue. And I think we're up to 600, maybe over 600 folks that we've gotten into long-term treatment and long-term care. And That's a great thing. We talked to the Lieutenant Governor about that as well yesterday.
No, it's a great program. I mean, it's amazingly successful and one of the few times that folks really get to be proactive and solving instead of always reacting to the problems that they encounter. So I love that we do this. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. Have fun at the meetings today, Wes. I know they're going to be a big, long day for you. Thanks so much, as always, for the time and for running the county. I appreciate it. It's a difficult job. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. We'll see you.